Welcome to another edition of Adam and Brian talking CU Buzz football, and we just wrapped up spring a couple days ago, Adam. But you're heading out on a fun vacation, with your wife, and so we wanted to do one more thing to kind of wrap up the spring. And there's obviously some transfers to talk about. We could probably do this every other day and have new transfers to talk about at this point in the year. But let's just kind of go over some things that are going on with the program before you head out of the country. But first off, I don't know if you want to say, like, where are you going, and how excited are you for this?
Well, yeah, this was kind of in the plans for like the last 4.5 years. For my 40th birthday, my wife surprised me with a trip to Boston, and I knew that her dream vacation destination was Lisbon, Portugal. And so just a little bit each month, kind of putting money aside a little bit, planning for this. And so her 40th birthday is coming up, and it's not till August, but we definitely can't go out of the country in August. And even now it's tough. Like, there's really no slow time under the Coach Prime buffs, but you and Jimmy Searfoss and even Sean Niehoff are going to kind of help out. And I've got some stuff in the can as well. So it's going to be a little bit different in the sense that I'm going to be in a different time zone, but I'll still be checking in everything, but I'm looking forward to it. I love seafood. And so we're going to be, really trying to try new Portuguese foods, and the pastries out there look pretty amazing. So it's going to be fun. We're going to take one day and go to the beach, but so looking forward to this. Is the only time I've gone outside of the country and not to Mexico. So this will be the first time being on an airplane, flying all the way overseas. So both nervous and excited about it.
That's awesome. Well, I think you're going for husband of the year for 2024 with this trip. So good on you, and I hope you guys have a good time. And we'll talk about it a little bit afterwards, hopefully, and just get your thoughts on what it was like out there. But let's go back to CU Buzz football. We talked about it right after the spring game the other day, the soggy spring game. But any other thoughts you've had since then?
Not a whole lot. I thought we did a pretty good job of kind of touching on the main points of that. But I did, when I got back on Saturday night and got done with all my work, went back and rewatched the Pac-12 network telecast. And again, it just looked different up front, right? There were times where, there was a little bit of pressure on Shadur, but even the way he kind of handled the pressure, it seemed like that part of it, a lot of times with the offensive line, and you hear this from coaches all the time when they say, I got to go review the tape, it does help to kind of go back and kind of focus more on that group. And it's not the best offensive line in the Big 12 right now. There's still some improvement that needs to take place there. And we've seen them add quite a bit of beef through the portal here in recent days on that offensive line. So it should be a pretty good competition. It's comparing it to last year too, right? And so the bar was set so low that just a competent offensive line play, I really stood out watching that. It was not a whole lot more to take away from than what we already discussed, I felt like.
Yeah, the only other thing I would add is that, I have seen comments from people saying, man, this team, watching them on Saturday, they don't look very good. They don't look much better than last year and things like that. And, we say it every year, but don't read so much into a spring game. It doesn't really mean a ton. You wanted to see Shadur look good, and he did. You wanted to see that offensive line and the defensive line, show some of that beef in there, and they did. But people have to keep in mind, too, that not all the parts were there, right? So there's still some the players that are out and things like that, and it's a spring game. It's a watered-down, no pun intended with the rain, but it was a watered-down scrimmage that they – they pared down the playbook, things like that, and more guys are coming. So I thought it was a fun atmosphere to see Shadur, to see LeJonte Wester, to see that offensive line and the defensive line. And they're certainly bigger, and I think they needed that.
Again, one other thing rewatching it is we mentioned this after the spring game, just DJ McKinney and Preston Hodge, they continue to show that they have elite talent at the cornerback position.
Yeah, I mean, if those two guys can play like that and you're allowed to put Travis Hunter in the slot, then that's a pretty good DB group there. And then you got Cam Soman-Craig and Shiloh in the back, and you feel pretty good about your secondary. So I think that, I tweeted this out the other day. The Buffs at this point, this is a good transition to talk about some transfers. They've lost 31 this offseason. They've added 33, and I think you agree with me here. This roster is better. I think this is a better roster than it was last year, and they're still not done adding. And so, you know, I look at this team and say, it's better. And this is kind of what Coach Prime's job is, right? Is to improve the roster. He improved it last year from the previous year. I think they're improving the roster over last year.
And that's something we said in one of the analysis videos when the transfer portal window opened. It was like, we've already gone through this three other times since Coach Prime got here. This is really the fourth transfer window that he's had. And every time there are a bunch of guys that hit the portal, people freak out. And then slowly but surely, they fill the roster back up. And at the end of that process, you look at it and go, they're better at the end of this transfer window than they were at the start. And there are still a couple pieces to add in this window to get to that point when you lose a Dylan Edwards, who's pretty dynamic. But, I mean, shoot, you bring in Ashad Amos, who rushed for 1,000 yards at Miami of Ohio last year. The folks that I've talked to that cover Ohio State really like Dallin Hayden and his potential. And so you've got Charlie Offerdahl on scholarship now, Micah Welch. It's sometimes you just have to let this staff fill in the gaps a little bit, but some folks just don't want to do that.
Yeah. And Brandon Hood, you know, a freshman coming in, who, you know, was a 1300 yard rusher as a sophomore and then had some knee issues, and only played, I think, about 10 games the last 2 years combined, but was still highly productive in those games as well. And so that's sort of a diamond in the rough freshman addition, I think. And so and that was another tweet I had in the last week. Four additions, scholarship additions to the running back room, if you count Charlie Offerdahl getting that scholarship. You know, when Dylan Edwards left, it's like, wow, they have one scholarship running back, and now all of a sudden they have five. And so I think it's a stocked running back room at this point. And but it is funny, you know, watching the cycle, right? Every year, like you mentioned, it's like everybody leaves and there's this panic and like, what's going on with Colorado? And then it's this cycle of everybody comes in and you know, they fill out the roster and it looks good. So it is amazing. Real quick, I don't know if you saw this, but another article by The Athletic, and there's been articles by different places just revisiting all the people that got pushed out, you know, by Coach Prime a year ago. It's crazy how many stories there are on just this team and the guys that didn't make the roster, right? Have you seen all those?
Yeah. Well, first off, before I dive into that, I'm glad you brought up Brandon Hood, because I did want to make a point there real quick. This was a pretty highly regarded prospect early in his recruitment, and it was a torn ACL where things kind of paused. Well, he came back last season and had his best yards per carry average at the high school level. So he showed that he got over that. But the process with high school recruiting is so accelerated now that by the time you get that senior film, I mean, these Power Four programs have already kind of figured out who their guy is at most positions. And so it is hard to you know, get that late offer from the Power Four ranks when you're somebody that's coming back from an injury like that. So, and I was told that he and his brother Colton Hood, who's transferring as a cornerback from Auburn, played Little League with Micah Welch. And the word is that those guys are dogs too. So if they have that same dog mentality that Micah Welch showed up with, I can't wait to see that. I could not access the Athletic article because I don't have a subscription. That's no offense to that company. I wasn't able to read it, but the gist of it basically is that, but here's my issue all the time with that is that, like, with the minor recruiting violations, it's like, you're not pointing out other schools and where their outgoing transfers are. It's because Colorado gets more clicks, and the negative focus draws a lot of those clicks. And so that's the part of it that isn't going to get me to buy an Athletics subscription today to read it. Again, no offense to them. I wasn't able to see it.
Yeah. I read it this morning, and you know, it's just another one of those things where they go back and talk to the players that, that were, you know, I quote cut. You know, I know that a lot of them weren't cut. They were kind of told they weren't going to play. But talk to those players from 2023. It's, you know, from a year ago. And, you know, the main one that they talked to was Chase Sowell, who was a player I really liked here and went on. And, you know, kudos to him. Had a really good year at East Carolina. And even he closed the article by saying, I'm not mad. You know, it was disappointing, but I'm not mad at Coach Prime. And he goes, hey, I got to meet him. You know, and so it ends up, you know, their main source is kind of like, it is what it is. And, you know, disappointing, but you know, I at least got to meet Coach Prime, and I'm in a better spot now. So, So yeah, it's just interesting to see how many of those articles come up. But the fact of the matter is there is a lot of change, right? And it's going to get highlighted, and that change continues with Colorado. We mentioned the Hood brothers. I'm transitioning now back to, you know, transfers. But another one, Zach Owens, you know, coming in from Clemson, and he played high school with the Hood brothers. So, yeah, if they're all dogs, you know, there's a lot of dogs coming in here.
Yeah, if that happens, then maybe Georgia needs to be recruited just as heavily as Florida. Although, you know, Florida has got a lot of that same mentality with those guys coming in there. I'm curious, good circling back to that article, like, did they mention the fact that it's an NCAA rule that a first-year head coach can come in and cut bait? That's, like, actually legal in your first year?
They did. They said that, you know, they're allowed to do that, but it's never been done at this level, and it never quite like this, you know. And then, and they, of course, highlight kind of the cutthroat nature of, you know, of how it was done. And, you know, that was the first time I met with Coach Prime, or I didn't even get to meet with Coach Prime and things like that. And so a lot of things we've already heard.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and a lot of those guys went through spring ball, too. Right. A lot of those cuts were really made after spring ball, if memory serves, right? So,
yeah,
that was every guy was basically was given the opportunity to, hey, go come out and audition for it. If guys didn't want to do that, that's not on Coach Prime and his staff. Now, the guys after spring ball that got cut loose again, that's legal to do. And you just had 15 practices to evaluate these guys, and you're trying to make the roster better. So, nothing about that bothers me. And no offense to Chase Sowell, but the one that left last year that was like, oh man, this is going to be tough to watch this guy playing against Colorado in the future is Jordan Tyson, because it sounds like he's healthy now at ASU and is going to have a pretty big role there. But you go back and look at that long list of names that left, and it's kind of weird timing because it's just so far out now. We're like a full year away from that cycle. But not many of them did a whole lot at their next stop, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I will say this too, and we can move on from that article probably, but I will say this, that it is tough to see that, you know, I know it's cutthroat at times, but I'm at the point now with all the changes going on that I don't feel that sorry for the players anymore, because I think that the players have fought so much to make this, to help create this situation. And the NCAA has set up a situation where they're really kind of like employees. And, you know, it's like pro sports in a way that if you don't perform, you're going to get cut. And that's just the way it is. And so that's just the way it's set up right now. And if a coach comes in off of a 1-11 team and doesn't like what he's got and he wants to get rid of it and make it better, well, that's kind of what the system is right now. That's what he's paid to do, right? And if he doesn't like you, he doesn't like you, and go play somewhere else. And that, you know, I don't think that these players, it's almost like all these articles, it's almost like there's some entitlement to where, well, they should have that shot here. They should be able to stay at Colorado if they want to. Well, no, that's not the way it's set up anymore. And I think that I'm totally fine, honestly, with what Coach Prime is doing, because that's within the rules, and his job is to upgrade the roster.
Yeah. And Coach Prime would say, why is it such a problem when I say it then? Right. It's true.
And, right? And it's absolutely true. And, you know, nobody's ever answered when he says that. But, you know, the answer is because he says it and no other coach says it. That's the reason it's a problem. Coaches aren't as blunt as him and aren't as honest. And, you know, in some ways that's refreshing to us. But, you know, he's probably not going to watch this, but if he does, that's the answer. The reason why it's a problem is because no other coach says it like that, but it is true.
Way back in the day, maybe 10 years, not way back in the day, about 10 years ago at a Pac-12 media day, Mike Leach, when he was the Washington State head coach, said, you know, you guys ask questions, but when we give you the answers, you don't want to hear it. And it's true. Yeah. People want the truth, and then you tell them the truth, and then they don't want to hear the truth. And it's like, okay, you know, that's, I don't know. I thought that was a great comment by him, just that they're in a really tough spot because people get upset when coaches just give you cliches and coach talk. And then when you have a coach like Coach Prime that tells you what he's thinking, then some people have an issue with it. It's like, well, what do you really want here? You know?
Well, it does seem like, all coaches go through a class called like Coach Speak 101 or something like that, because that's what it is they all give us the same type of answer, and they all know kind of how to talk without saying much. So when you have a guy like a Mike Leach or a Deion Sanders that says something that's different, it's going to raise some eyebrows and be like, whoa, wait a minute. Yeah, they're not supposed to say that because we haven't heard it from other people. And so, that's the reason why it's a quote problem, I guess. And it's funny because he's asking us, why is it a problem? But I don't think there's a lot of people in that room when he's talking to that think it's a problem. You know, it's more like the national people. But I know I don't have a problem with a lot of the stuff when he says stuff like that because it's true.
Yeah. Well, I think part of that too is Coach Prime speaking to the cameras and, you know, the people out there that aren't in the room that are watching too.
Right. So. Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot of it for sure. But the fact is he is overhauling the roster and he's doing it his way. And, you know, as we mentioned, it is a better roster and it's going to be better. I don't know what the number is. It keeps changing all the time, but they've got what, about a dozen spots left, and who knows if they'll film all. We keep saying that he didn't film all last year, but they've got about a dozen spots left. If nobody else leaves.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And you're going to have, this non-graduate window closed, but there's still going to be some guys that earn their degree in May. And when you get your degree, you can enter the portal at any time. So there's going to be this trickle of other guys throughout the month of May. So I think you'll see this roster really solidified though in late May when the players are asked to come back for summer work. And that's really when you can dive into each position. And right now it is so fluid. You could try to make it too deep on the O-line and probably come pretty close to being accurate, but that's what's going to be fun. I think this summer is having kind of that set roster to be able to kind of comb through.
Yeah. And I mean, on Saturday, all they had was two deep. I think it was only 10 guys. So there's more coming in. You know, we mentioned the Hood brothers and some other guys. What are your thoughts on Zach Owens? 6'6", 370, something like that.
Yeah. Big body and was one of the most highly recruited offensive tackles in the country. Just a couple years ago. And so he's got a lot of years of eligibility left. Colton Hood has a lot of years of eligibility left. You're not just bringing in seniors now. This is going to be a pretty experienced team overall, but I like the fact that they're taking guys that can be kind of that bridge to the future as well. And, you know, even with some of the high school recruiting that they've done recently, you know that Coach Prime is being asked about kind of his future and the message that he told us after the spring game, the message he's telling those high school recruits is that, he's not planning to be gone out of Colorado next year. And so that part of it's been kind of encouraging as well, just to see that they're trying to go chips in the middle for this season because you've got Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter, but you're not trying to mortgage the future either.
Yeah. And there's been a lot of heat, he's received a lot of criticism for, building through the transfer portal is not the way to build a long-term program, but when you add transfers that have only been at their school 1 year, that's okay. You know, that is long-term, right? A Colton Hood has 4 years of eligibility. Like you mentioned, Zach Owens has 4 years. Brandon Hood is just coming in as a freshman. They've added some other freshmen recently. And so they are, the higher numbers are in the junior senior classes, but they're adding a little more pieces to those younger classes as well, to where you're building some depth. And Coach Prime told us, look, the portal's not filled with starters. It's filled with guys who are backups. And for whatever reason, they're a backup. And when you get younger players, they were probably a backup because they're younger. And now you get them and bring them in here, and maybe they're a little bit more seasoned, after a year at Auburn or Clemson or whatever it is. And they can maybe help you if you get through some injury issues this year.
Yeah, how long have we talked about linebacker? We see Jeremiah Brown have a nice standout performance in the spring game. And then Nakai Hill-Green commits the same day and is somebody that was pretty productive. And Rayon Buell coming in from Ohio adds depth, a third-team All-MAC guy last year. You're bringing in some of those guys that were backups, but they have found other guys that have been pretty productive at the places, that they've been. And Deion Hayes, Colorado is now taking the two best pass rushers off last year's Pittsburgh teams. So we even saw Coach Prime have a fun tweet about, because this is what now, about a year and a half removed from Pat Narduzzi's comments about CU. And so that had to feel good for Coach Prime and the Buffs to get those two guys.
Yeah, and hey, those guys were just kind of getting started at Pitt. I mean, they had kind of breakout seasons last year, and the Buffs would love to see them have even bigger breakout years this year. And boy, wouldn't it be something if it's CU and Pitt in a bowl game this year?
That would be fun. Well, we already know the game against Kansas State's going to have some fireworks now, right?
Yeah, Dylan Edwards. And it was, the day he went in the portal, not even a week ago, I think, it was speculated he would land at Kansas State, and that's exactly where he landed. That was the very first team he committed to, and then he committed to Notre Dame, and then came to Colorado. Surprised at all?
Well, when I wrote my story on Dylan Edwards when he hit the portal, there was only one college I mentioned in there. Now, there were other schools that did make a run at him, Nebraska, Texas A&M, some other schools. So I have no idea how much of an open ear he had there, but I expected him to land at Kansas State all along for sure.
Yeah, and I think for Buff fans, I think they're excited that game is in Boulder. October 12th in Boulder, Dylan Edwards, because that's one guy – they didn't want to lose. I mean, if you look at everybody that's left in the portal and you said, who's the one that you would like to have back, they'd probably say Dylan Edwards.
Yeah. We'll see how the future plays out, how Amos and, Hayden, how those guys do, because they're a little bit more traditional backs than what Dylan Edwards was. But I'm not going to sugarcoat the fact that he's one of the most out in space dynamic players in college football. That's for sure.
So I just thought about this, but with Travis Hunter kind of playing more in that nickel role, is Travis the guy that you kind of, hey, if Dylan Edwards is on the field, shadow him?
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't done a deep dive on Kansas State's personnel. It's not like he's guaranteed to be the lead running back there either, right? Is it?
No, it's not. I mean, Kansas State's always loaded at running back, right?
It feels like it, yeah.
So yeah, I haven't done a deep dive on them, but it just seems like that would be kind of an interesting matchup if they use Dylan Edwards in some of the same way, line him up in the slot, coming out of the backfield, is that Travis Hunter a lot of times, guarding him. So that could be kind of an interesting battle, no matter who's guarding him or, covering him. It's going to be an interesting matchup to see what Dylan Edwards does against the Buffs.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm almost having to take off here, Brian. But yeah. All right. We got to talk about our post spring ball challenge here.
Yeah. This is an idea you brought up, and it's funny you brought it up because I'm the one that probably should bring it up, but you did. Both of us, have a little more weight than we want to have on our bodies right now. And so we'd like to, be smaller people by the time we come back for fall camp in August. So just kind of talk about what we're going to do this summer.
Yeah. Well, since Coach Prime took over, I used to work out every day, and it's become this thing where it's easy just not to go to the gym because there's so much going on. But when I was training for a marathon a couple of years ago, the best advice I received was you almost have to treat working out and going to the gym like a doctor's appointment that you've got to keep. And so that's kind of the mentality. And it helps now that spring ball's over and Lisbon has these crazy hills. So I'm going to get a nice jump start on this, but I think we both have a number in our head. I weighed in the other day. So I know where I need to go, and we're both kind of going towards our birthday in October. I'm turning 45 mm-hmm. October 16th. Your birthday is what, the 29th?
29th. So 6 months from today as we're doing this.
Okay, that's awesome. So you know where your goal is, and I think it's going to be fun. We can kind of share and have accountability publicly by saying this, that that's an extra layer to be like, okay, I'm not going to be lazy about this, and I'm going to go to work and try to do it the right way. And I've done keto in the past, and that just makes me miserable. So I'm going to do it more like a lifestyle habit in Mediterranean diet and workout and try to do it the non-fad diet way.
Yeah. And we call it a challenge, but not really a challenge because we're not going to compete really. It's more of like push each other a little bit. And
We'll compete a little bit.
Yeah. But I'm not going to say my number, but I'll just say this. If you saw me on a roster, you'd say that's a nose tackle. And I would like to, by my birthday, be like, okay, he's an edge rusher, so maybe that I'll put it in those terms. And the ultimate goal at some point down the road is I'd love to be like, if you see me on a roster, that's a linebacker or a running back, but right now I'm a nose tackle and I don't want to be a nose tackle.
And I want to be a receiver. And right now I look like a little bit out of shape tight end. So
awesome. Well, and we talked about this, I guess, you know, the fans that are watching this, our challenge, I guess, would be push fans out there to, you know, if you've got goals, let's make this a summer of, you know, getting in shape for the Buffs season this year. And, you know, if fans want to make comments on the videos or share with us on social media, kind of, you know, what they're doing and, you know, kind of the goals they hit as well, that'd be great.
That would be awesome. And I don't want to have anything like high stakes, but if there's something they can, an idea they can give us for just our kind of our personal friendly competition, I'd be down for that too.
Yeah.
But yeah, and we need to get Adam Bornstein, who wrote a book, and I've listened to the first part of the audio book of it. It's called You Can't Screw This Up. And it's a good book about, again, kind of just the fad, going against the fad diet thing. This is a more about a routine and getting to healthy routines, but also not, you know, completely keeping yourself from being able to go out and enjoy life. And so he's a CU guy, and the foreword of his book is written by Arnold Schwarzenegger. So we got to get him on here. I got some questions about Arnold that I want to ask, and I'm going to finish the book and I'm sure have a little bit more insight into everything. But anybody out there that is thinking about kind of joining us with this, that's a good listen or read, however you like to consume books.
Awesome. Well, hey, good luck with all those pastries in Portugal, and yeah, hopefully you offset it with those hills.
Awesome. Yeah, it's going to be two steps forward, one step back, two steps forward up the hill, and one step back after I get that pastry in my belly.
Well, we'll talk afterwards and see how things went, and you know, we're going to, you know, meet up and do these a couple times, you know, or a few times throughout the summer. We'll kind of update where we're going, and hopefully it's going down in a positive way. So
it will, yeah, it will. Yeah, I have faith in us.
Yeah. Well, we'll do it. But, hey, Adam, have fun on your trip, and we'll be back at some point after your trip and kind of see, talk about what's going on with the Buffs at that point and kind of recap your trip a little bit as well.
Sounds great. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate you.